All right, we will now convene the November 11, 2014 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of the October 14, 2014 meeting and approved them. All right, do we have any announcements before we commence this morning's proceedings?
Yes, sir, Mr. Rattelli. We do have one case that's in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda. Case number 2, SMG 041426-4756 Fairmount Road is in compliance as of November 10th.
Very good.
I think everything else that I'm aware of is on the agenda.
All right, well, those representatives who will be hearing at this morning's proceedings for the City of Daytona Beach, please step forward to be sworn.
Good to go.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
With that, we will proceed directly to case number 1, Grover J. Discern. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. Ficalto, Anthony Jackson, appearing for the city, as counsel for the city. The inspector in this case is Michael Fitzgerald, and this is before you for imposition of a fine. As you may recall, we continued it from last month because we had a couple of questions about the actual status of ownership, as I recall. But we've since satisfied ourselves. I think there were some issues regarding a certificate of title that left us a little unclear. But we've looked into the issues that we were concerned about, and we resolved those. And we're satisfied that the property was was properly cited and noticed. And so the inspector is Michael Fitzgerald, and I will ask him to testify to you regarding the current status of the case.
Okay. Yeah, there's been no change on the property, and I've received no information from the person who owns it. They did sign for the green cards, and we're asking for a $250 a day fine to a max of $15,000.
All right, and have the respondents done anything in response to the notice of violation? All right. And what about this warrants $250 a day?
Pardon me?
What about this warrants $250 a day?
It's the neighborhood. It's dragging the entire neighborhood down. The neighborhood has been working on itself. They're improving the whole neighborhood. People are painting. And this is what's keeping that one block.
All right. And what's the maximum amount of the fine in this instance?
$15,000.
Okay. All right. Noting the absence of the respondent, particularly noting the fact that the respondent's done nothing in response to the notice of violation, I'm finding the respondent so $250 per day. Commencing.
This one was continued, so actually the compliance date, I believe the original compliance date is November 5th, or I'm sorry, October 8th.
Okay, I'm looking at October 8th.
Yes.
Commencing October 9, 2014, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. Case number 2 is in compliance. Case number 3 is in compliance. Case number 4, Mayan Ocean Waters, LLC.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you state your name, please?
Don Ziegler.
Z-E-I-G-L-E-R.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. Refresh my memory.
The Mayan.
Give me an overview on where we are on this before you get into the details.
All right.
The overview is we're coming to the end of this.
I've had overview.
Yeah, so do I. Right now we're currently working on some concrete restoration on roof edges, walkways, and some other little areas around the building. We expect to have that completed by the end of the year. And from there, we're going to have, we've already started doing some of the painting, but we have a 28-day cure time. So we were just discussing, should be able to have all the painting and everything done by the end of January.
Very good.
So.
I don't even remember. Did we have a compliance date on this?
No, we didn't. We're coming up with a, we agreed on a compliance date for February 1st, 2015.
February cutoff.
The cutoff in February.
February 4th.
Has it been put into an order as of yet?
No. It hasn't been put in.
If you're looking for the cutoff date for February 2015, it's February.
Yeah, historically we have not had a compliance date. We've just been going step by step through progress reports.
I don't see the need for one now. What the heck?
Okay. Yeah, we're steadily working on
this. I've updated the pictures. There's a lot of progress.
Very good. Appreciate the effort.
Thank you, sir.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
So what's the next thing we need to do? Talk about this in January to see where we are?
Progress report in January, that'll be good.
All right, then let's schedule our next progress report for the January 13, 2015 meeting. And it sounds like if everything stays on course without the freakish rain we have right now, then we might be perilously close to finish.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate the effort.
Yep. Thank you.
So I'm ordering that for on the January 13, 2015 meeting for a progress report. All right, case number 5, Elaine Barichel. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, everybody.
Will you please state your name and be sworn?
Elaine, A-L-A-I-N, Barichel, V as in Bob, A-R-U-C-H-E-L.
Right. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you about to provide is the truth, all the truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. The status here for the imposition of a fine, so I guess we hear from the city first.
Mr. Vakelja, this is another property that's... a lot of progress is coming too, and it would have been, the exterior would have been done, but the rain yesterday held them back. You could see the pictures I updated. These are the ones when we started, and towards the end you can see the final outcome. He has a little stucco to deal with in the exterior on the top of the northeast corner, and then on the front side. And then we'll be done. So by next cutoff, he says a couple of weeks it'll be done.
All right, so you're looking to amend our current order of noncompliance to extend the compliance date to December 3, 2014?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Barichel, how does that sound to you?
Your Honor, so there's no misunderstanding. The city has tied in and amalgamated interior improvements and repairs, and therefore I can call a final inspection. So if that may be the case, I'm asking for a deferment of 90 to 120 days, Your Honor. That means that the building would be, the interior and the exterior would be done. At this point, Your Honor, I consider myself to be in compliance technically.
Hang on a second.
Yes.
Is he cited for the interior?
No, sir. That's what it said. He'd be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Okay.
He's
as far as the exterior goes, will that be done by December 3rd? But before you answer that, let me help you out here.
Yes, please.
If that's done by December 3rd, then you're in compliance, and you're done with me, you're done with the special magistrate, you haven't even been cited for the interior.
I won't be.
So at that point, but my point is...
Yeah, sorry for cutting off. Apologize.
The point is, at that point, you can deal with the city, I don't want to say at your leisure, but as long as they're satisfied with your progress. So my point is, you would like to administratively extricate yourself from me.
Yes.
So the question is, by December 3rd, Will you have the exterior done?
Your Honor, yes and no, because I was ordered to have the inspections. The inspection for the exterior shall not be done, because on their inspection cards, they don't give you any alternative. So I can't have an exterior inspection other than through the code enforcement. Right. Then
so
I would say yes.
Let's see if we can get some clarification. We know what he's talking about.
What he's going to do is he's going to call me for an inspection for the exterior. Once he gets the exterior done, which he should have done in a couple of weeks, when I go out there and I verify that it's completed, it'd be in compliance and the case will be closed. This will be closed.
Right.
Then he deals with the building inspector for the interior. That's a totally separate issue.
All right.
I'm good with that if you are, Your Honor.
I'm very good.
Oh, good. Your Honor, keep
in mind, once you get the exterior done, then the public outcry over your property quells.
This is the exterior.
At that point, you're at your leisure, not at your leisure, but you've got a little more time to do whatever else needs to be done.
Your Honor, I would like to ask your consent to be dismissed from the next meeting, because I'm very optimistic and enthusiastic, and I anticipate that the property will be in compliance with the exterior within prior to your...
Well, it'll be done. I'll be happy.
So I couldn't be dismissed? Next,
well, I think conditional. If you're not, there's consequences.
Of course. No, but I mean,
right.
Conditional that the property is in compliance, the exterior. Could I be dismissed for the next meeting, Your Honor?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
If you have any compliance, you don't need
yes.
to be here.
That's what I'm asking.
I will amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until December 3, 2014 to come into compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And again, focus on it's just the exterior that needs to be done by December 3rd. Once that's done, you get your final inspection. He says this is in compliance. This matter's done. You and the building inspector can then talk about the interior and do it.
I amalgamated exterior, two new porches, a patio. But it's not on your order. I know. But Your Honor, I wanted to thank you immensely and to wish you and your family an excellent Thanksgiving, love-filled, prosperous, healthy one, a memorable one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Case number 6, Christiana Trust, trustee, care of Lender Legal Services.
Good morning.
Please.
Christine DiNardo. D-I capital N-A-R-D-O.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Thank you.
Okay, Ms. DiNardo, what is your affiliation with this respondent?
I am the property manager for it's a bank-owned property, and the property manager.
Do you have authority to speak on their
I
behalf
do.
Of this morning's proceedings?
Yes, sir.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so I guess we should hear from the city first.
Yes, Mr. Vakelja, this is the property at 315 Cedar Street. The inspector, listed inspector, is Eddie Lopez. Mr. Lopez is no longer with the city, and the other inspectors that are involved in the case have need to do some follow-up, so we're asking if we can amend this case to the next cutoff.
Okay. Let's say Ms. DiNardo to that.
That'd be fine. We, just so you know, it took a really long time to get two contractors to sign onto this job. The bank has to have two bids before they'll move forward, and I ended up having to go to Venice, Florida, to get a contractor to come up in Deltona. So both bids have been submitted. I'm expecting approval today or tomorrow. It takes them a little bit, and then the work should commence. So by the next meeting, it really should all be done.
Okay. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yes.
All right. In response to the city's request for the continuance, I will continue this matter to our December 9, 2014 meeting. So with that, in the interim, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Case number 7, Blondell M. Ezel.
I've been told that case is in compliance. Do you have a date, Pencil?
Do you have a date?
The 7th, November 7th.
Very good.
actually the next one, too.
Case number 8, Ronald Helgemo is also in compliance.
That was also? Okay.
And oh, it's Christmas coming on.
And?
Case number 9, Can Do Man, LLC.
That one also. Same day, too. Okay. Number 7.
We're on a roll. Case number 10 I have is being in compliance. That brings us to case number 11, Dorothy M. Knapp. Is there anyone here for the respondent? This matter's here for the imposition of a fine. Let's say the city. Is this the B lady?
Yes, I believe the B's were in the previous case and they were taken care of.
Right. You may recall we had the B and then we had the ramp and other outside issues. And so a report from the inspector is Daniel Garcia. And this is the, as we said, the property at 216 Mullaly Street. Now,
okay, so this is Ms. Knapp. We're not dealing with the bees.
Correct.
We're dealing with the ramp.
Correct. The bees is the cases.
I'm sorry. Gotcha.
The bees were.
Now I'm with you.
So I would ask Mr. Garcia to address. Yes.
Code Officer Garcia, City of Daytona Beach. For this case, the outside storage was taken care of. The building ramp, they applied for a permit. It's under review. She should be getting that very soon. Also, she's got a pressure cleaner, and they got some paint, so they'll be dealing with the peeling paint. And the damaged fence is just a few slats that need to be replaced. So she's asking for a little bit more time. So I'm asking for amend to the next cutoff and should be in compliance by then.
Very good. Based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until December 3, 2014 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Very good. That brings us to our new cases. Sandra L. Wallace. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Good morning, Mr. Cogan.
Good morning.
This property remains in non-compliance. I spoke with the property owner. Well, I didn't speak with her, but she left me a message this morning saying that she would not be able to attend. All the violations have been corrected except for the unlicensed vehicle, as you see right here in the picture. City saying it's non-compliance and giving them until the next cutoff to bring property in compliance.
So all she needs to do is what? Put a tag on it? That's it?
That's correct.
Okay. Very good. I find the respondent in non-compliance. And order the respondent to commit to compliance by December 3, 2014. It will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 13, Eldorado Property Holdings, LLC.
Yes, sir. Ken Poulin, P-O-U-L-I-N.
Raise your right hand, please, sir. Yes. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you might provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Poulin, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, then I find the respondent in non-compliance. Let's ask the city what needs to be done to come into compliance and how much time they suggest.
Good morning. The property owner has just now effectively evicted the tenant that was the cause of most of these problems. He's asking until the next cutoff. He's already started on repairing most of the work, and he should be done.
Yeah, the exterior.
Prior.
Am I looking at the damage?
That was.
Yes,
painted.
Sir.
The whole building's been painted.
I need to say next cutoff, Sam Vicious.
Well, I've just got the interior. I believe the exterior is done.
That's correct, except for the exterior door. There's a compliance, not a compliance, but a reinspection folder. Dental. When you get a chance, get a reinspection folder. All of the outside storage has been removed. The exterior has been painted. He does need to replace one exterior door, and I have not had the opportunity to get on the inside. That's why I'm giving him until the next cutoff.
Okay. All right. We'll see, Mr. Poulin. They're suggesting the outside ought to be done by December 3rd.
The outside will definitely be done by December 3rd.
Okay.
No question.
All right.
Which door are we talking about?
The door to the shed under the stairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, no worries. We just got the tenant out of there, like, yesterday. So we'll go in and straighten it up. It's our intent to make it look better.
I'm seeing a lot of interior stuff on this description of violation.
That's correct. It was a police issue. When I arrived on scene, the police was still there. It was an active scene. So most of the issues on the interior was a result of that activity that morning.
Well, my point is, we're giving him to December 3rd to finish what I'm hearing are exterior issues. But in the notice of violation, I'm seeing interior surfaces, smoke detectors, appliances, receptacles, inoperable receptacles.
That's correct.
All right. So you're on board with all this?
If I could get 60 days for the interior, that would be really good.
But well, my point is, this talks about interior and exterior.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you, I'm not here to sucker you into being done by December 3, only to find out you thought it was all exterior and there's interior too.
I'm aware of the interior, but there is extensive stuff in there. I've got to get heaters, I've got to get
appliances. Is this property occupied at present?
Not currently.
All right. I'll give you your 60 days if you keep it unoccupied until it's in compliance.
Fair enough.
All right.
So, okay. If I could just clarify, so if I have somebody that wants to rent it, I have to get it in compliance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before you can move anyone in.
All right.
It has to be in compliance.
Fair enough.
All right. Then I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by January 7, 2015, and further the requirement that the property not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until such time as it's in compliance. Failing that, be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And of course, I assume you know, just as soon as you have it in compliance, get your final inspection, then you're good to go.
And don't have to come back.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thanks.
I'll give you a call. Case number 14, William Vitor and Kathy and Michelle Vitor.
Oh, goodness.
Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor.
Split.
Anyone else going to
be testifying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I apologize. My name is William H. Bitworth. Well, I'm not used to this.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am. There is. He's on his way, but the point was, I apologize.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
It's yes, they were there, but I wasn't the one charging for the parking. It was my neighbor in the back that was doing it illegally. I didn't see it because usually I wasn't filling up on the parking because Club Topic parking lot wraps around across the street, as I'll show you on a plat. Here. Could I bring it to you?
Sure. It's hard to explain. Don't you want to look at this?
As you're looking, Club Topic parking lot is, oh my God, it's so hard to explain. This is the old Denny's lot. The Club Topic's over here. I was doing parking over here, which I had left to do some things, and the guy was watching a lot from me over here. There was an RV and such parked over here with some other cars, which I'll show you on the picture. Here's where I charged to have. I called the towing company, have them towed. This is one of the cars that actually got dropped in the lease. And here are all the pictures of this man parking on the grass. And camping, one of their RVs, their bikes, more. This is the house. Where's their Pazinati, I believe, is the fellow's name. He works for the fire department. He's a fireman. It's like a bike club.
All right, let's slow down here. Commercial vehicle parking and illegal parking. Where was the commercial vehicle parking and illegal parking taking place? I've got a survey right there. Here.
Yep, that's where they're saying it was, but it's
this is the building. Where
it was an RV.
Just a second. Where was the building? Where was the parking taking place?
It's on the vacant lot.
The back.
This was
this is the grassroots part where they're parking on my grass. This guy here, which I call on him every year. And this is where he was parking on the concrete. If not, that RV would have sunk down.
Okay, is this, okay, are we north or south of
Broadway? Well, let me show you.
The legend says north or south.
Yeah, this is my parking plan that I paid for. This is where the Denny's used to be. This last is the Denny's.
You see north of
this
Broadway.
This is the parking lot. This is actually a flip topic parking, but across the street, but I never ever fill it. This is where the RV was sitting in that picture here.
Right. It was alongside.
And they come up and they're camping out of it. Yes. Yeah, that's what it looked like they were doing. It may be easier for us to get a record.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Back up. I got this. Everybody, go back there.
Yes.
All right, let's start with, where is the property we're even talking about? Are you talking about a prop? Is this property on the north side of Broadway?
North side of Broadway. No, it's south, sir.
So this is on the south side of Broadway.
He's on the north side.
If anybody's going to be testifying, you need to come up to the mic and say your name and be sworn.
No, even better, you just need to not talk.
Yes, sir.
All right, right here.
Yeah, they are actually correct. That's my real estate agent. It actually is, you're correct, it's on the north side.
Okay,
because as you're driving,
Denny's, is this where Denny's used to be?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And it actually stretches across the street.
You're showing me a survey with a building on here, but then you're showing me a photograph that I think is right, but there's no building. So anyway, this is an old survey.
Mm-hmm.
All right, gotcha. And Club Topic's actually across the street from this property.
Right? Yes, correct. And it's actually all part of Club Topic.
So I need to focus on the north side of Broadway, directly across from Club Topic.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there are a number of parcels in there. The parcels are reflected on the survey. The building that's reflected on the survey is no longer there. Okay, now I think I'm with you.
Yeah, the foundation's there.
And these photographs were taken by whom?
By me.
Okay. All right, now.
And for the tow truck people.
Gotcha. I think I'm oriented now. So, let's talk to the city. All right, what's the problem?
The RVs that I took photos of, it's on the parcel that I have, the short parcel, which is
0915-3307.
Hang on a second. What is that
symbol? All right, whatever. Do you have a lot number?
No, I do not.
Okay. What parcel?
Hold on.
Is that the long parcel?
That's a short parcel that you put on. I have the long parcel.
No, that's long.
I don't have a lot number, though.
All right, why don't you just describe for me where it is?
It is
north of Broadway.
North of International Building on Broadway, and it's alongside east of Wild Olive, and there were two large RVs on the pavement surface, and also prior to that there was motorcycles parked behind it. The main
and approximately how far from Broadway were these vehicles?
Well, there was a lot in front of it.
I know.
And past
the lot,
the vacant lot, the grassy lot, past that.
All right, anyway.
Okay, surface.
All right, so we got these vehicles parked there, and what? You're telling me it's commercial property? There's commercial vehicle parking and illegal parking.
Right.
Why do you say it was commercial vehicle parking and illegal parking?
Well, because there were RVs, and they were parking down the...
Okay, and you're telling me it was the property owner that allowed them to be there?
Well, when I asked the owners of the RVs, they said the property owner allowed them to. They said they do it every year. So I said I would speak to them, let them know that they could not park there.
You would speak to who?
The owner.
Okay.
I went across the street. They actually, one of the guys even got him and got one of his employees. He said the owner wasn't on the property at the time. And I spoke to Michael Cuddy.
Yeah, Mike's a very sorry. Yes, sir.
Mike stated that he was charging them. He was willing to give the money back, and that he would have them moved. But he needed some time. I told him an hour. He said, an hour is not enough time. I said, 2 hours. I gave him 2 hours. Within that, I came back, and 2 hours came back. If it wasn't as easy as that, they started arguing and cursing and everything, carrying on.
Who started arguing?
The owners of the RVs and the bikes.
Yep.
So police were called.
Arguing and cursing with him?
Me. Telling him that they couldn't move. They did this every year. We're not moving, blah, blah, blah. So finally, after the police arrived, we came to a conclusion that they would move as long as they got their money back. So I spoke to this Michael Kine that said that he worked for Bubtrovic and that he rented it out and he would give them money back or he'd find a place for them to park. I came back a couple hours later, they were all gone, which is the compliance pictures that he showed.
Right, so from the beginning of this saga to the end, how much time elapsed from you approaching these people and telling them they needed to leave to when they left?
It was probably a good hour or so. About an hour was taking place there, talking, and I had to walk across.
Okay, so you asked them to move, and they moved? But it took them about an hour to move?
No, it took them a couple hours. At least the
Can you stop waving for a second?
Sorry, sir.
All right, you can have a stroke. Relax yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
I didn't come exactly after the 2 hours. I came later than 2 hours, and we verified, my supervisor and I, that they were all gone.
Okay.
I took photos. I did get a signature from this guy, Michael, that said that worked for them. And he said he would take care of it.
All right. So what's the gripe here? The property owner rented out parking space illegally?
Basically, it's in compliance now. We're just looking for a will find so that it doesn't happen again. Because they say that the case
is not clear on what it is that happened in the first place. So what is it
they were parking for? Commercial vehicles on a lot that shouldn't have been parked on.
Unauthorized, unlawful parking.
Unauthorized, unlawful parking.
No,
why is it unauthorized and why is it unlawful?
It's across the street. It's not
it's not a campground, is it?
I understand that. Is it a commercial piece of property? Or are you going to tell me it's residential? Setting aside whatever state it may currently be in.
It's commercial.
I mean, I just don't know. Was the man supposed to have a permit or something? Or was it not allowed at all?
I did need a permit for the...
All right, well, that part I understand.
I have one.
Okay, so if you wanted to have parking there, you needed to obtain a permit. You didn't have a permit. You had to park.
That was for the TP. The permit was for the motorcycles.
Okay.
The RVs wasn't allowed because it was commercial and
okay. Property. All right. Well, let's let Mr. Bittorf talk. Okay. What's the response?
I gave you a copy of the permit that I have for parking. It should be in the. Yeah, I do it year round, actually, for beach parking year round. And the lot that's across the street is that Denny's lot, actually, that deed is actually across the street also. It's all interconnected, it's all one flowing piece of property. So when Colleen Miles originally made me get that parking permit, I had to get that permit for all my pieces of property to charge for parking. And in the past few years, they didn't make me do that, but. With those RVs, I did not park them. Mike might have got a little bit intimidated because code enforcement came and signed whatever they told him to. But I wouldn't have parked those RVs and let them stay there because obviously I can see the gripe of code enforcement, honestly, because I never would have believed half the things that y'all deal with until I sat here and watched. But this guy obviously... Even after code enforcement looked, this guy had bikes parking on his grass in the back also. So these bikes never left. These are actually a day after. I took day after pictures, and I took a video, which I...
What is this permit to the answer?
No idea.
Ms. Wachowski,
$820 for 20 hours of operation, parking lot 51 plus parking. capacity, restaurant, 251-plus seats, cabaret, and he tells me this is for, I guess he's trying to tell me, properties on both north and south of Broadway.
Mr. Calder, we have one of our permits licensing officers and or permit officer, and so if she can be sworn, I think she probably can clear up a couple of those questions that you have.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
And clarification, just what is your title?
I'm the license manager for the current licensing department. Okay. The license that I have in my hand is for 400 East ISB. It allows him to have extended hours of operation for alcohol, restaurant, and parking on that site only for 400 East ISB, not across the street. If he wanted to do motorcycle...
400 East ISB is what? Topic?
Correct. Yes. All right. But the lot that he had across the street, he needed to obtain a parking permit for the master plan period, which he did not. If he wanted to have camping and overnight site, he had to go through a special use permit, which he did not obtain. And we do have several of those that are not in the master plan area, i.e. Fentress out by the Speedway or the dog tracks, but there's a different process to go through that in order for him to have overnight RVs.
Okay. All right. I'm educated.
Yes, she has a good point, but as Mike wouldn't have known, I didn't park them. And as you see in the one picture, this neighbor in the back, how could they miss the tent?
Neighbor in the back of the tent. What's that got to do with you?
Well, they're camping out back, and I didn't tell them they could even park that. Mike didn't have any prior knowledge. Mike's just going to go along with whatever code enforcement says because it's the intimidation factor. But you know, these bikes were here parked on grass. This neighbor here is parking on grass. The only thing I would like to remedy is the city to stop this guy from parking there. I'll put a trespassing thing and thus not allow anybody on that property.
We're talking about your property right here?
Yes. And the guy that's parking in the back of this house on this grass, I'm begging code enforcement.
Where is this guy in relation? Okay, in relation to this survey,
yes.
Where is this property you're talking about?
Right here in back of my parking. At the wall congruent.
So back here?
Yeah, right.
Within the survey, right here?
Yes, sir. The man that's parked on this grass, even after code enforcement left, he was still there parked on the grass. They did not make him leave. And I have the dates and the pictures to prove that.
All right.
So it was just interesting to me. I had people tending. The same people that were tending there, I didn't give them permission to park their RVs there. I would have made them park across the street where I could charge them. My lot wasn't even full. The poor guy that crossed, the guy's doing my parking out of it. And the guy's helping me out the parking, he doesn't know anything about it. And these guys were taking advantage of it. They had some kind of thing up there from some bike club, Fire and Iron or something of that nature. I don't know what that was. They were just having a big party, and I can understand code enforcement being upset.
I could understand everybody being upset.
Ms. McKelton, I do have additional testimony. I could summarize it. I'll let the officer testify. She's a couple of things. One is basically, as you know, those pictures are the picture the day after, but even subsequent to Mr. Bidoff,
yes, sir,
getting the notice, he made contact with this officer, and they had communication, and where she would like to testify as to that conversation.
I'm Officer Syracusa. I'm currently assigned to the Cohort Division within the Police Department. Mr. Vakelja, as you know, I usually do not testify, and I usually do not have input on cases. However, hearing the continuing bantering back and forth, I felt it necessary to talk to Mr. Tony Jackson about this. When Mr. Bidorf got the hearing notice from Ms. Hampton, he did call the office. I answered the phone. We had a lengthy conversation about the hearing this morning. He said, basically, he does it every year. We don't know what we're talking about. We don't know what we're doing. He does it every year. He will continue to do it every year. And he was not going to attend the hearing.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Where's our licensing person? Mr. Bittorf is showing me photographs saying that where his property ends, there's an adjoining property that's full of parked motorcycles. What, if anything, do you know about that? I guess he's suggesting it's one of these two lots.
Would that be commercial or residential?
They're residential.
Okay.
Then that would be a separate issue that code would have to address. If the pictures were taken after the event, they should have gotten a call and we could have addressed it at that time. But the call was about the illegal RVs, so we need to address that commercial issue first, is why we were out there.
I mean, these appear to be homes. Are people allowed to park motors? Are people allowed?
They're not allowed to park on the grass. They're not allowed. You're not allowed to park on an unimproved surface anywhere in a residential area. It does happen. It is Bike Week. They respond as much as they can, but the call was basically for the illegal parking of the RVs on a commercial lot.
Okay. All right. In any event, I take it what we're discussing, commercial vehicle parking and illegal parking, was actually parking without the required permit during the Bike Week event. Is that what we're talking about?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay. And the will fine you're talking about is for a future violation by illegal parking on this property during Bike Week events without a proper permit?
You may recall, Ms. Vicaldi, we use the phrase will find, but, you know, as you know, what we're really saying is just we want a finding of noncompliance so that any future violations would be repeat violations. They would be any future violations of the same ordinance that he's in violation. What we've cited him to be in violation of is the outside use ordinance, which is the 2.17. 2.189, and then Article 8, which is the parking ordinance. So any future violations of those ordinances would be subject to repeat violation.
Right. I don't mean to be so finicky here, but I'm still trying to understand the nature of the violation, because what I'm hearing is motorcycles parked on this lot during Bike Week for which no permit was obtained. Is that part correct?
Yes.
And then I'm also hearing commercial vehicles, that being an RV, I guess.
Correct.
Two RVs.
That was parked on this property.
Correct.
And it's not supposed to be there at all, ever.
That is correct.
All right. So we have two distinct violations we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now I've got you. Okay. And you're looking for a will find as to both?
We're looking for a finding of noncompliance, and by making the finding of noncompliance as a matter of law, any future violations would be a repeat violation, and that's the language of our order.
You're not looking to order a will find at this time.
Not per se.
You're looking for the determination that gives you the predicate for that somewhere down the road.
That's, well, gives us the predicate for saying it's a repeat violation, yes.
Okay. All right. Mr. Bittorf. I'm going to let you have the last word here.
Yes, sir. Sorry. I know.
Whatever it is I'm doing. And it's been a while, but I think I understand what we're talking about now.
Okay.
And I guess what we're talking about is that an RV was parked there at all. And in addition to that, we're talking about motorcycle parking on a commercial lot without the one of the permits that would have been required during Bike Week events. So we're talking about two distinct violations there. Now,
those pictures were before and after. In other words, I took them during, right after the code enforcement left, while that gentleman was parking on the grass, his bikes, which I think is against the code.
Which gentleman was parking on the grass with his bike?
Pazanati is his name. He was the ones that rents the lot over there, the grass lot.
Okay. The lot that's like behind the home that you showed this one?
Yes,
there?
Yes. Okay. That's after.
Right. So you're showing me that just to show that there's other people doing this stuff? Right?
No, that they were doing it in my lot, too. Now, what I'm going to do to remedy things so I don't waste your time anymore, I'm going to get Mr. Jackson suggested that I get the police department to put a trespassing order on that property, I believe.
I don't know if we can. I think so. A trespass arrest act program.
Yeah. So I'm going to figure out how to do that with him, and that way I'll remedy that situation so anybody that parks on there forevermore will be towed.
All right. I'm going to find the respondent was in noncompliance in two respects. Number one, parking a commercial vehicle or okay, it's not parking commercial vehicles, it's parking an RV. I mean, we're not talking about prohibiting commercial vehicles on a commercial lot, are we?
Well, you can't have commercial vehicles on a commercial lot.
I think it's by definition in the code, RVs may be considered a commercial vehicle.
I believe that's what it is. Yeah. You have so many GBWs, the weight and the size.
I mean, there's no
parking.
There's
a process he needs to go through to park a commercial, like a parking lot.
But that lot hasn't been approved to do that. That's why his parking is adjacent to his restaurant. He has a primary use there at Club Topic, so he's allowed to have year-round parking. That parking lot goes with his business. But this is a totally separate lot across the street that does not have a commercial business year-round.
But I mean, the man's allowed to use his property for something, even if it is vacant.
But in order to do that, he has to go through planning, do a site plan. It has to be brought up to code.
Commercial vehicle there at all?
That's correct. There's a different process. That's correct. There's a different process to make it a legal parking lot.
Well, I'm not talking about making it a parking lot. I'm just talking about he owns a piece of property. Right now, I guess you would call it unimproved.
Correct.
And he can't park it. It's in a commercial area. And he can't park a commercial vehicle on it at all?
No.
That's correct.
That's correct. He needs to go through the process to have it an improved surface to use for parking.
And we've had
We've had this conversation with him in the past.
Actually,
Mr. Couch, we've actually... We've had a number of other properties we've cited on for the same situation. I guess it wasn't before you, probably before the code board throughout the city, where just because you own a vehicle, even in the area where it's commercial, doesn't automatically allow you to park it on that lot without having the proper permits and approvals and going through site plan and requirements.
If you wanted to speak, you need to be sworn. You're welcome to speak.
Yes, sir.
Come on up. Give your name, be sworn.
Robert Stoltman.
Robert
Stoltman, Stolpmann.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
Glowanda Davis.
Okay, I know that what we've tried to do for at least 4 years is come to the city, lay out a plan so that we could do vending there legally, pay the fees and everything. They don't answer. It's like what she just said was all we have to do is give them a plan, and then it's being done in this location, and this location on a variance, but they do not respond to us. Mr. Biddorf is willing to have me lay out the whole grid and do something similar to what they do in City Island. I asked the City Hall, 100 times, and they just no. They don't even answer us. So they're precluding the street from being nice when we have events, extra vending licensing fees, and all the things that the city would benefit. I don't know why, but they do not respond to us. I know that I've called everybody from the city manager down. We want to do vending there. She just said it's been allowed now in 3 different locations through a variance. We want to do that, but they won't work with us. I don't understand it. And, you know, like you said, Mr. Biddorf should be able to use his property. He's never late on his taxes. I think he pays 60 to 100 grand on the footprint. She's saying it's not a part of the footprint, but it is. The Denny's lot jumps over the street. So it was 2 parcels connected. The Denny's parking was actually on the south side of the street. The entire footprint Mr. Biddorf has is all connected. He could park 300 cars there if he wanted to. But he can't do anything because right now, like, we're trifling away over this code thing when we should be allowed to do it. We should be paying licensing fees, we should be increasing the city's funds, and we should make the street look nice during events. 10 years, 12 years he's on the property. 12 years we've tried to do that. Every time we go to City Hall, just it's like a shutdown, you know.
Well, don't you, you submit applications for the master
plan? I've called and called and called and called. They won't let us.
Submit applications pursuant to the master plan?
What I'd like to say is, okay, we've tried many times. Are they willing to work with us? We'll give them a grid. In a week, we'll have a grid. We'll show all the little spots we want to use, what tents we want to set up, parking areas, everything. We'll do it to their...
Do you fall within this master plan area?
Well, she just
at the current time, they do not. There's a process for them to be included in the master plan. Currently, they're not in the master plan area. That's a totally separate process than using the parking lot year-round. Using the parking lot year-round goes through planning upstairs, which I can't speak on their behalf on whether they've returned his calls or not. The second process he's talking about, which is Bike Week, is a totally different process that goes before the City Commission. There are other properties that have gone through it, but Mr. Bitterman waits to a week before the special event to try and come in and pull a parking permit. We can't do it that way. That's not the process. So that's the hurdle that he runs into every year.
Does this property fall within the Bike Week method?
No, it currently does not.
He currently
Why
doesn't.
Why do you need the temporary permit for the motorcycles then?
He didn't need a temporary. He can. Parking is a permitted use in that area, so he can use it as a parking lot for special events. That's part of one of the circumstances that's in this big process. But as far as what he's trying to do, overnight parking for RVs and camping, it goes through a special use. That process takes quite a while to get approved. It's not something you can do a week before an event.
Okay, but he's also being cited for these motorcycles having been parked on his property.
Correct.
For not having had a temporary permit during Bike Week.
That's correct.
But he falls outside the master plan.
Correct.
Why does he need the temporary permit?
Because it's an improved surface. There's a provision in the master plan that if you have an improved surface, you can use it temporarily during event parking.
Hold it.
Okay. Year-round parking lot has to be improved. It goes through a process. But during special event times, if you have an improved surface, doesn't have to be a legal parking lot, you're allowed to get a temporary parking permit, which is separate, and it's only for the days
He's
of the event.
Part of the master plan. Why does he have to come to you for permission to park on his property?
He needs a temporary parking permit for any improved surface to park motorcycles through the special event period. I have several different parks. It's the same as we do for Speed Weeks. When Best Buy or the Kmart uses their overflow parking, it's an improved surface, they're allowed to get a temporary parking permit. It's $120 for 50 cars or more. So he's trying to do two separate things, and there's two different processes to do them, and each one takes more than a week to get approved.
Will you let us do it? Will you?
It's not on my department to let you do.
Can you guys navigate us through it? We will give you a plan so that...
I believe he has the context.
What are the chances of us doing this by Bike Week? You know?
Okay.
Well, it absolutely is. It's the whole premise of the whole thing. We have parking that we can't do.
Let's stop talking.
Okay.
All right, well, I'm finding the respondent in noncompliance for the commercial vehicle parking, and to be specific, the commercial vehicle parking I'm talking about is the RV. And I'm also finding him in noncompliance on the illegal parking. I'm further finding that he is now in compliance. Okay. And I'm going to just state for the record, and I probably should keep my mouth shut, that I'm confused as hell about all of it. So, Mr. Bittorf, I would urge you to get with the city and try to start making your plans a little bit earlier. And I would also urge the city that when you come back here seeking enforcement, then somebody needs to clarify this maze of rules, y'all. And I'm not blaming you. It's just over my head. All right, so...
It was just one stupid question. Were the bikes parked on the grass? Is that what you're talking about?
Apparently, if I'm understanding it, the bikes were parked on an improved surface for which you needed a temporary permit.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
Notwithstanding the fact that you were not part of the Bike Week master plan.
That's correct.
Because it was a special event, you needed to have a temporary permit.
That's correct.
Well, the question was the bikes were parked on the other man's property, not mine. That Graston lot is not my property.
I wasn't talking about the grass lot.
There were bikes parked on the other side of the RV on the paved surface.
Oh, okay. I didn't see this. I apologize.
Anyway, this will be a thorny issue should it arise again. I would certainly urge you people to try to participate in everything. I will also tell you, if you're late submitting applications, that you're not going to be considered at all. By all means, if you want to, again, I would urge you to participate in these events, and I would urge you to get your applications in early, and we'll go from there.
I will be earlier, but for the past 3-4 years, I haven't been late. I've been consistently trying to work on it the last past three, four years consistently. Actually got this gentleman to do it for me.
Okay. All right. Well, all I can do is wish you luck.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, sir.
Nothing but free for all.
Yes, sir.
Do you need to grab some of these pictures back?
Let me give you all these things back.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Do you want this?
Well, they should have copies since they were submitted.
Okay.
So I don't know if
you have. Sure. Absolutely. Hopefully the city does something about that guy parking illegally.
Well, you put him on notice.
You can have those originals if it helps you.
No, you don't want your survey.
Technically, I should have one, but I don't know if you can.
No, there's no miscellaneous business I'm aware.
Okay. Thank you. Can I speak to our licensing lady one more time?
Okay, on the record, off the record.
No, we're on the record. We're just okay. Laying his business. Okay, now, when you say Mr. Bidworth always calls late, I assume that means that the last minute he calls trying to get something out of her.
That's correct. If Biketoberfest starts on a Thursday, I see him on Monday morning most of the time.
And he would need, and I apologize to him, I should have done this while he was here, and he needs to be submitting those requests when?
Now. For March. That's correct. The Bike Week Master Plan guideline is tomorrow, November the 11th. 12th. Okay. But I am going to give him one of my business cards. I'm going to put him in contact with planning and a planner by the name of Dennis Morozak to see if he can do the special use for the overnight RVs. We call it overnight RV parking, but it's also camping. There's a process they go through. They need to provide electric. They need to provide portalettes. There's several different things.
Well, I don't understand why there would be an RV down there at all. I have no concern with that whatsoever. I guess what's kind of got my goat is it seems like lately people seem to find their way into, well, their applications to participate in Bike Week get a lot further down the road than they should, given the lateness with which they're filed.
Okay.
So that's part of my angst. All right, good enough.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. I'll just let it go. Okay, this portion of our meeting is adjourned.